Thank you. Thank you, Tanshi Yorazmasin, High Commissioner Gokhale, Excellencies, Ladies and Gentlemen. I'm pleased to be here with you today at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies and share views on a pertinent issue for India-ASEAN relationship, the evolving architecture and emerging partnership. I'd like at the very outset to place on record my appreciation to ISIS for having given me this opportunity. The Asia-Pacific region has today become central to the global economy. It has not been merely the fastest growing and most economically vibrant region for the past two decades, but also the one that holds the greatest immediate potential for propelling global economic change. This is not a futuristic projection, but a current reality that the world witnessed in 2008-09 during the global financial crisis. The nation economies were the growth engine that kept the global economy afloat. It is therefore natural that India, which is an integral part of both the region and its growth story, is seeking to intensify and deepen its linkages in Asia. As our region develops economically, we are also witnessing the emergence of a new regional architecture. As trade and investment spreads through the region, there are bound to be higher stakes to preserve and protect it, and countries in our region, as well as major powers, are likely to be involved in how regional peace and stability can be preserved in order to safeguard economic growth and prosperity. If the region can develop a security architecture that is balanced and inclusive, this will have a positive influence on the process of regional economic development. However, if we ignore this, then there could be problems ahead. In this context, India has always played a constructive role in EAS, ARF, ADMM++, and other political and security structures. India has and will continue to do so in the future in keeping with the importance it places on its relations with ASEAN. ASEAN and India, as they come together, represent a combined GDP of $3 trillion, are home to one-fourth of the global population, and have as their challenge as also opportunity the human resource potential of 1.8 billion people. These are facts which cannot be ignored. More important is the fact that the process of economic engagement is deepening rapidly since we have completed a free trade agreement in goods in 2009, which came into effect recently. We are hopeful of concluding the FTA in services and investment within this year. With these enabling arrangements in place, we fully expect to achieve our projected bilateral trade with ASEAN of over $100 billion before 2015. This process is being helped along with meaningful bilateral FTAs with Malaysia and Singapore, and hopefully will be by those with Indonesia and Thailand, which are on the anvil. Indian companies are beginning to invest increasingly in ASEAN countries, including in Malaysia, and this trend too is likely to pick up pace once the FTA on investment is done. There are more Indian tourists visiting ASEAN than ever before, and a growing number of Indian professionals are working in ASEAN countries. I'm told that there were over 700,000 Indian tourists who visited Malaysia last year, and over 900,000 visited Thailand and Singapore. Similar movement of trade, investment and people is also taking place in the reverse direction. The point that I wish to underscore is that there are real opportunities and benefits for both sides in greater engagement, and that India's policies towards ASEAN shows a clear intent in favor of a stronger overall relationship with both the regional grouping and its individual member states. Against this very compelling backdrop, ASEAN and India are marking a very important landmark this year in terms of commemorating 20 years of dialogue relations and 10 years of summit partnership. The year's commemorative calendar for ASEAN and India officially began with the Delhi Dialogue 4, hosted by India in New Delhi on February 13, 14, 2012, at which we had the honor to host both Malaysia's Deputy Foreign Minister and Tan Sri Jong. We appreciate Malaysia's participation and that of all other ASEAN countries, and I truly enjoyed the session which was attended, in which Tan Sri Jong participated, which was a changing face of the ASEAN. I would recommend that if you can get the transcript of that session from the website, it will be very valuable, because Ambassador Tomiko and Tan Sri Jong spoke very knowledgeably about that. The commemoration this year is in fact more than just a reaffirmation of the civilizational linkages between India and ASEAN countries, dating back a few millennia in our shared histories. The events culminating in the special summit in India are intended to reflect that the political, economic, and socio-cultural fortunes of each of our countries are interlinked in the present, and that in the future this is likely to have much more in common as Asia becomes the hub of economic and other activities in the 21st century. This common future, which found early expression even prior to India's independence at the Asian Relations Conference, which was hosted by Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru as head of the provisional government in New Delhi in April 1947. This idea is now being translated into reality through common efforts by all countries in the region more than half a century later. We appreciate the central role that ASEAN plays in this process, and we intend to engage fully in ASEAN's efforts to build a new regional arrangement for cooperation and engagement. ASEAN and India have been consistent partners in this process since India first became a dialogue partner 20 years ago. We have supported and supplemented ASEAN's efforts to create common platforms to address issues of mutual interest. We wish to see a region that is peaceful, stable and open, and with which India can freely engage with others on all fronts for mutual benefit. We are committed to this partnership. The potential and role of this partnership between ASEAN and India has grown with the strengthening of our collective capacities, with our economic restructuring and integration, and has today become an important facet of India's look-east policy. The foundational pillars of the partnership between ASEAN and India are connectivity, economic growth, sustainable development, and capacity building. It is a fundamental fact of geography that India is one of the only three countries sharing both land and maritime boundaries with ASEAN. ASEAN-India partnership, which encompasses socio-political economic dimensions, is becoming strategic in character. With the absence of any problem area or irritants, it promotes stability both with ASEAN and India, and both are now placing the highest priority to the connection of the space between them geographically, institutionally, and the people-to-people level. India is accordingly placing high priority to fulfilling the strategic potential of the ASEAN-India partnership. ASEAN and India have instituted a very detailed system of regular government-to-government meeting at the working group level, senior officials meetings, ministerial and summit level meetings. We have finalized a plan of action 2010-15 to drive specific collaborative projects. India has committed $50 million to the ASEAN-India Cooperation Fund, another $1 million to the ASEAN-India Science and Technology Fund, and $5 million to the ASEAN-India Green Fund. In the last few months, we have proposed 19 cooperation projects to the ASEAN Secretariat for further ASEAN-India cooperation in the field of space, agriculture, environment, information and communication technology, new and renewable energy, and human resource development. We are working on an intensive calendar of activities for the commemorative year, including first meetings of our ministers of environment and new and renewable energy, as also the heads of our space agencies. ASEAN and Indian ministers of agriculture would be meeting for a second time this year back to back with an Agri Expo in New Delhi. This year commenced with a meeting of the tourism ministers and the signing of an institutional arrangement between ASEAN and India for promoting tourism. The interface between the regional think tanks and academic community is being intensified, and the Delhi Dialogue 4 on February 13-14, 2012 was the first such effort during the year. ASEAN and India have also constituted an eminent persons group which is working towards a vision which will provide a roadmap for the future. Another ambitious project is the ASEAN-India Car Rally 2012, which will be held from mid-November to mid-December 2012, together with marker events in each of the ASEAN countries en route to India. I have personally suggested to my SOM counterparts the setting up of national advisory committees and national organizing committees in each of our countries to coordinate this extensive project. The Government of India will also send a sail training ship, Sudarshini, on an expedition to ASEAN countries from September 2012 until April 2013 along the route of the monsoon winds. This is the interaction we used to have over centuries, and we want to replicate that in this 20th anniversary year. We have requested ASEAN partnership for the organization of marker events at the different ports of call. The Indian Council for Cultural Relations, in cooperation with its counterparts, is looking forward to organize an extensive calendar of cultural activities. The ASEAN-India trade ministers are to meet in New Delhi in December, coinciding with which our Ministry of Commerce and Industry would organize the second ASEAN-India Business Fair and the ASEAN-India Business Council meeting on December 18-20, 2012. The year will be capped by a special ASEAN-India commemorative summit in December 2012 in New Delhi, which would see participation by ASEAN and Indian heads of state government. People-to-people interaction is being intensified. We have instituted an ASEAN-India media exchange program for a period of 3 years, wherein India will host 2 groups of 20 ASEAN journalists each, and ASEAN countries will host 5 batches of 8 Indian journalists over 3 years. 250 students from the ASEAN countries will be visiting India in 2 batches. The Foreign Service Institute in New Delhi will continue to offer special training course for ASEAN diplomats for the 7th year now. We are also exploring capacity building courses for ASEAN professionals at the Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore. India has been participating in the General Assembly of the ASEAN Inter-Parliamentary Assembly for the last 2 years as observer, and Indian parliamentarians have extended an invitation to IPA parliamentarians to visit India this year. The ASEAN India FTA on trade and goods, which I had referred to earlier on, has had a significant contribution toward increasing trade to nearly $58 billion in 2010-11, an increase of 30% over the previous year. We need to intensify efforts for concluding a meaningful ASEAN-India FTA on trade and services and investments, which will help us truly intensify our economic cooperation. The 9th ASEAN-India Economic Ministers Consultations held in Manado in August 2011 had agreed to a structured private sector engagement in 5 key areas of pharmaceuticals, innovations and skills training, information technology, manufacturing and infrastructure. These areas would have important economic and also HRD-related implications for growth in ASEAN countries and also in India. I think it would be useful also to briefly touch on our political security relationship with ASEAN, which, as I said earlier, has been substantially enhanced since our participation in EAS, ARF and similar mechanisms. Our basic approach has always been to bring value addition in terms of ensuring balance and stability that will be conducive to growth and prosperity. Like ASEAN, India too needs a stable and secure regional environment in order to fulfill the compelling developmental tasks set by its government of raising 1 billion people to a level of middle income status. In a generation, more than 40% of our trade and a growing number of foreign investments come from East and Southeast Asia. We can therefore assure ASEAN that we will act responsibly and take into account the interest of our neighbors in ASEAN, and we hope that ASEAN will do the same. The ASEAN-India story is therefore one of common perceptions, a natural and mutually enhancing partnership with a historical basis of mutual respect and cooperation. Our history and present cooperation has bearing on the future outlook for the region. The vectors of our interests are congruous. The USP of our partnership is the absence of irritants and a common vision for the future development of our people. In fact, one can find in the ASEAN-India relationship all the elements of a strategic coming together for working toward a vision of peace, stability, progress and prosperity in the region. The relationship, which has been constantly strengthening, has perhaps today attained critical mass. I cannot conclude without saying a few words about our bilateral relations with Malaysia. The establishment of a strategic partnership in 2010 has led to a qualitative upgradation of our ties. Trust and understanding at the highest level is matched by a solid progress in all areas. The entry into force of the bilateral FTA in July 2011 and the achievement of the highest trade figures of US$12.5 billion last year are building blocks for the new partnership. On the defense and security side too, there is greater engagement. I wish to underscore that we consider Malaysia to be not only an important bilateral partner, but also one providing support to the strengthening of our relationship with the ASEAN. Indian business and industry considers Malaysia to be an excellent starting point for its trade and investments with ASEAN, creating greater opportunities for professionals in the two countries to work in each other's countries, and if this trend is encouraged, it will benefit us both immensely. On our part, we are committed to a strong relationship with Malaysia as a fundamental part of our foreign policy. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Excellency, for that, you know, very broad overview of ASEAN-India relations in the last 20 years and how far we have progressed in almost every sphere. There are a lot of opportunities, potentials, which I'm sure both sides will exploit to the full. And as I said earlier, there's plenty that we can do in order to catch up on those lost decades when, you know, politically and economically, we were not as congruent as we are today. It's now discussion time. We have until 4 p.m. His Excellency has to leave, catch a plane back to New Delhi. So let's make the most of it. If you can identify yourself and then pose your question or make your comment as briefly and as succinctly as possible. Yes, Dr. Stephen Leong.
Thank you, Tan Sri Chair. Stephen Leong from University Tunku Abdul Rahman, visiting ISIS Fellow. Excellency, undoubtedly, the relationship between India and ASEAN has come a long way. Could you elaborate on one particular aspect, because both sides have high premium on this, and that is education. Yeah? What measures perhaps India can take to promote the two-way street between ASEAN and India on education? Thank you.
Education is an area in which both of us can learn from each other. There are certain strengths that India has and certain strengths that ASEAN has. For example, a lot of ASEAN students are studying in India, in particular from Malaysia. I believe there are 3,000 Malay students studying in India. But on the other hand, there are 2,000 Indians studying in Malaysia. So this is a two-way flow. We have students from all over the region who come to India to pursue higher education. We also find that Indian students look to opportunities in the premier institutions of the region to pursue higher studies. One important facilitatory mechanism that we should all look at is equivalence of degrees. This is something that we are working at. Secondly, as far as basic economic prosperity is concerned, we need skills and we need training, vocational training, we need skills development. Some countries of the region have excellent skills and vocational training development potential, and we are hoping to attract them to India to set up model schools which we could then replicate all over India. There are certain managerial and entrepreneurial skills that ASEAN countries possess, which we would like to learn from. On the other hand, 50 years, 60 years of developmental work in India has created considerable capacities in India for developmental work and training and capacity building in developmental areas. In India, we have institutes for small-scale industry, institute for banking, institute for rural development, institute for small for agro-processing, agriculture. We have some premier institutes where we have short-term courses for 3 months to 6 months to train middle-level and other managers on the nominated by the governments to come to India. As a part of our Indian Technical and Economic Cooperation Program, India offers a lot of places, scholarships two nominees from the ASEAN region to undertake training courses in India. And in this way, we are building a critical mass. And I think what we are trying to do is create greater opportunity for the movement of people to create, through creating better communication links, more flights among each other, cheaper air travel, so that our people, as youth, can take the opportunity where it exists and can take the opportunity to excel in the line of work that they want to do. And together we are larger. So we believe that together we are larger, and we'd like to use that catchphrase to take ourselves forward. I hope I've answered your question. One area where we have some strength is in the field of ICT, and a lot of Indian training institutes in ICT sector are setting up shops in various ASEAN countries and setting up training centers. We also invite nominees from ASEAN countries to come and train at our ICT centers. We also set up, under the government programs, we set up IT training centers in a number of countries. We also set up training for vocational training of the kind that we know in small scale industry. We have certain strengths because of our colonial experience in English. And we have participated in the ASEAN integration program by putting up English language training centers in a few ASEAN countries. So there's a very wide program of activities. We have the ASEAN India Cooperation Fund. We think out a program. We submit it to the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta. The ASEAN countries look at the program. They accept it or amend it, and then we take that program forward. So slowly we do build up a huge network of connectivity between our countries. Thank you.